A reading from the book of Nehemiah. Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly, which consisted of men, women, and those children old enough to understand. Standing at one end of the open place that was before the water gate, he read out of the book from daybreak till midday, in the presence of the men, the women, and those children old enough to understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. He opened the scroll so that all the people might see it, for he was standing higher up than any of the people. And as he opened it, all the people rose. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people, their hands raised high, answered, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and prostrated themselves before the Lord, their faces to the ground. Ezra read plainly from the book of the law of God, interpreting it so that all could understand what was read. Then Nehemiah, that is, His Excellency, and Ezra, the priest scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to all the people, "Today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not be sad and do not weep." For all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. He said further, "Go, eat rich foods and drink sweet drinks, and allot portions to those who had nothing prepared, for today is holy to our Lord. Do not be saddened this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength." The word of the Lord. A reading From the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, as a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons. We are all given to drink of one Spirit. Now the body is not a single part, but many. If a foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it does not for this reason belong any less to the body. Or if an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it does not for this reason belong any less to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God placed the parts, each one of them, in the body as he intended. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. Nor again the head to the feet, I did not need you. Indeed, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are all the more necessary, and those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we surround with greater honor, and the less presentable parts are treated with greater propriety, whereas our more presentable parts did not need this. But God has so constructed the body as to give greater honor to a part that is without it, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the parts may have the same concern for one another. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts share its joy. Now you are Christ's body, and individually parts of it. Some people God has designated in the church to be first apostles, second prophets, third, teachers, then mighty deeds, then gifts of healing, assistance, administration, and varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work mighty deeds? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theopompus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your reading, in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
My dear sisters and brothers, today, on this Word of God Sunday, we gather as a broad faith community, united by the Spirit to celebrate the living Word that reveals the very mystery of God present among us. Our readings today are a profound tapestry, weaving together a variety of ideas that inspire us. Our Holy Father, Pope Francis, declared, "The third Sunday in ordinary time is to be devoted to the celebration, study, and dissemination of the Word of God. This Sunday of the Word of God will thus be a fitting part of that time of year when we are encouraged to strengthen our bonds with the Jewish people and to pray for Christian unity." Thus, we recall that these sacred writings have a hidden dynamism that remind us of the power of God's word to us. How we receive it, how we welcome it in our lives, and how it can transform us into becoming more ourselves as part of God's dream for us. Here, early on a Sunday morning, at the Chapel of Our Lady of the Angels here in Irondale, we recall the impact of Mother Angelica and the Poor Clares in their mission to proclaim God's word. She was so moved by her faith and belief in the power of God's word that it led her, through Providence, to found a TV network to proclaim the good news of Jesus to the ends of the earth. At the very heart of her life, she believed what she read in Holy Scripture, in risking everything for Christ. You see, there's a power in the Word of God. It can transform us. That power is so strong that in some areas of the world, the Word of God in Scripture is forbidden. It cannot be printed, disseminated in any form, or proclaimed in public spaces. Believing Christians memorize the scriptures and the Psalms. I sometimes think to myself, how much of the Word of God do I know? Do I cherish it? What if God had only revealed some words to us, or one word to us? How would we cherish those words or that word? During Mass, before receiving Holy Communion, we say, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. The healing of our wounds and hearts need only hear the word to be healed. In our first reading from Nehemiah in the Old Testament, we see the power of God's word on the people of Israel gathered as one body. They listen attentively as Ezra proclaims the word of God. It says, he opened the scroll so all the people might see it. He was not just saying his words, but those words found written on the scroll. These are God's words that are reverenced and proclaimed seriously for all to hear. Did you notice their response? It says, for all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. They were waiting to hear it, to see it proclaimed, and rejoiced for having heard it. Ezra reminded them, do not be saddened this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength. This scene echoes the reality that the word of God is not just words on a page or a scroll. It is life-giving and transformative. It can soften the hardest heart. It calls us to unity, to a deeper awareness of God's presence. God is near, and we can see and hear these words whenever we gather together. The psalm response reinforces this truth, proclaiming, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Refreshing and rejoicing are two beautiful attributes that help us understand the power of God's law, God's word to us. Not bound by time, the word of God impacts us powerfully, echoes through history, and reaches us in our own time. It can be soothing and console us in sadness. It can heal our hurts and wounds. It can help us look beyond. It can challenge our hardness of heart. Today is a great day to rejoice in the gift of God's word, rejoicing its power to refresh us, guide us, inspire us. For this we treasure and honor God's word in our liturgical books and in our proclamation. St. Paul's words to the Corinthians invite us to see the body of Christ as diverse but unified. The body is not a single part, but many, St. Paul writes. Each one of us with our unique gifts is indispensable to the body of Christ. And this truth resonates in our time as we seek to join together as people of faith. We also give thanks this week for the people served, particularly by the National Catholic Office for the Deaf, and all who serve in ministry to the deaf and hard of hearing, some of whom are present with us today. I give a particular shout out today because as a part of the body of Christ, they witness to us their fidelity to be part of Christ's body while hearing God's holy word may not always be possible, but seeing the words interpreted in signs allows the word of God also to enter through other senses. God's word is proclaimed in ways that are understandable in the language of this unique and fascinating community. Today we ask ourselves, how is the word of God accessible to all? For the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, must be proclaimed in season and out of season, with creativity and compassion, so that all may see, hear, and understand. The word of God is not merely there in a closed book on a shelf with dust collecting on it, waiting to be opened, but it is there silently, waiting to become alive when it is read in contemplation or proclaimed in sacred assembly. It must become part of our lives and who we are. Now, in our gospel, we add on the themes offered by Nehemiah and St. Paul. Here, too, Jesus, like Ezra, opens the scroll in the presence of the community and reads so all can hear. Jesus then declares, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." All that is said becomes an event that has been remembered by the evangelist Luke and written for us to recall. This bold proclamation reminds us that the word of God is not confined to the past. It is alive and active in the present, today. The scripture is fulfilled when we proclaim it in our languages so all can understand. Scripture is fulfilled when we live it, making it accessible to those around us, that this is true, this is possible, this is real. Like Jesus, we are called to bring glad tidings to the poor, liberty to captives, sight to the blind. This mission at the heart of the Jubilee year, a time of renewal, reconciliation, and restoration. As we reflect on the readings, we are invited to deepen and widen our gratitude for the Word of God and for those who dedicate their lives to its proclamation. To my brother priests and deacons, religious women and men, and lay ministers, especially those in the deaf and hard of hearing communities, thank you for your tireless efforts to bring the gospel to life in ways that are increasingly understood and embraced by all. Your work reflects the heart of Christ, who came to reveal God's love to all people. Finally, I urge you, don't forget to read the Word of God in Holy Scripture. By allowing it to take root in our hearts and allowing it to shape our thoughts and ideas, we will proclaim the Word of God with authenticity. Whether in families, workplaces, or communities, let our words and actions be a living testimony to God's words in our lives. St. Paul reminds us, you are Christ's body. We are the hands, the eyes, the ears, the feet of Christ, carrying this good news to the ends of the earth. On this Word of God Sunday, we recommit ourselves to the joyful task of sharing this good news. Yesterday, we celebrated the conversion of St. Paul when he was struck by the words of Christ and changed his life. Today, we recall Saints Timothy and Titus, whose pastoral letters remind us how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. May we, like Ezra, proclaim it boldly with clarity. Like the psalmist, rejoice in its truth and be refreshed. Like St. Paul, celebrate our unity with all diversity. And like Jesus, embody its fulfillment in our lives. And like Timothy and Titus, Know this word as a teaching guide, and like Mary, cherish it in our hearts. May God bless you all with peace as you joyfully proclaim his word by your lives. Amen.